We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feels like a brain frazzled kind of day for me.
I understand that. That's sort of my resting state.
Welcome to The Holy Hour, a podcast about sex, relationships, mental health, and everything in between.
I'm Amelia Sanson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at The Holy Hour. I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Amelia Sanson.
And I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Liz Ball So Hard.
You can also watch us on YouTube or listen ad-free on Patreon at patreon.com/theholyhour.
Check out our merch at theholyhour.com and email us your spicy stories at holyhourpodcast@gmail.com.
I woke up today just immediately salty to be awake, you know?
Did you have a bad dream?
No, I wanted to stay asleep. I think that's why.
Yeah, I slept through the night for the first time in like 20 years last night.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I woke up at 7:30 because Polly decided it was time. She does this thing where she licks directly into my mouth because I sleep with my mouth open.
Oh my God.
And that's what woke me up this morning.
What a way to wake up.
Yeah, it's the sloppiest alarm clock ever. I had a thought when I was in the bathroom just now. I don't think that there is any better experience than popping an ingrown hair.
That is a very satisfying experience. I had an experience earlier today where, because I have like a mole right here kind of near my lip.
Yeah.
And it felt tender-ish.
Uh-oh.
Like it just kind of hurt. And I was like, I know there's a zit and I just can't see it because it blends in, and then I like push around it and it
went
exploded.
All over the mirror.
Yeah,
dude, that's the fucking best.
It wasn't too crazy, but the relief,
yeah, oh yeah,
is very nice.
Absolutely.
So
I get cysts on my chin and like they'll hang around for like a month before they pop, and when mm-hmm. they pop,
you know what, there's something just like disgusting and satisfying when you pop a zit that one is causing you pain and two it gets on the mirror.
Yes,
you're like, oh my God,
like that one just came out with some
you
attitude.
You were ready to go.
There was gusto in that one. Oh my God. Total diversion, but I had this conversation with Frank last week and he was like, have you talked about this on the podcast? And I don't think that I have. It's really not that big of a deal, but it is. Mm-hmm. It is kind
no,
of funny.
What are you meant to tell me?
No, it's really nothing, but I don't think you know. I'm really building this up.
There's
no reason.
I don't know something about you?
You might. This is such a nothing burger. I can't believe I'm even like doing this exposition, but...
Everybody be quiet. Drum roll. Drum roll in your car, on your steering wheel. This is going to be the most exciting piece of news you hear all year. All year. It's April 2024.
No.
Okay, what is it?
The first guy that I ever gave a blowjob to, which also means it's really the first dick that I was like up close and personal with, only had one ball.
Oh.
And so I thought they just looked like that. And so after I was done giving him said blowjob, he was like, so you're probably wondering. And I had no idea what the fuck he was talking about. I was just ready to accept the fact that that's just what they looked like.
You're probably wondering. But actually, I wasn't wondering anything.
I
was wondering when this would be over. My jaw hurts.
That's actually exactly what I was wondering. No, but I was kind of like, there was a moment where I was like, is that just one ball? But I was about to live my life just wondering.
I've never just like investigated. I've never been like, what's going on down here with this little purse?
Well, I was like,
this little coin purse.
I was on my, like, he was standing and I was on my knees. Like
that would be uncomfortable.
Yeah, it sucked. But I was like, it sucked.
Hey.
But I was like, I don't know.
I feel like it would be uncomfortable for both parties.
Yeah, he seemed to like it.
Well, I mean, hey. I feel like, I don't know. They're always happy to just be included.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah. Us, on the other hand, not so much. Actually, I like giving head, but that's for another time. But apparently, if you have balls, you might not want to hear this, because when I was telling this to Frank, he was like, I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that. But he was trying to like jump over a pole and like,
oh no,
burst his ball.
Oh my God.
A real ball buster.
That, but I don't even have balls, and my butthole clenched at that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So he has one ball. I hope he's doing well. He also cheated on me. So,
well, it's probably because he was insecure about how many balls he had. You know?
I think one is better than like three. You know what I mean? Like, if you're gonna have an unusual number of balls, that's the best option.
Yeah, one or three.
Yeah, or none.
Yeah.
I mean, I have none.
I mean, I've never really, again, I don't really think about the balls. That doesn't mean I neglect them, okay? It's just, I've never, like, there's never been an opportunity where you can just sit there and investigate.
Yeah.
And just be like, no, I don't want you to pay attention or anything. I just want some time to myself to observe what's happening down here.
Right,
you know
right,
what
right,
I mean?
Right, yeah. But I mean, like, with
a little science experiment,
your brain can process things very quickly, you know? You just go down there, you just kind of take like a mental get like a read, get some stats, and that was what I experienced down there.
This is unrelated to what you just told me. Did I share on the podcast about my naked neighbors? Obviously, I know I told the story about
the first time you saw them.
Yeah.
No, you haven't. You haven't updated anyone.
Oh, okay. Well, this is the best. I haven't seen them in a while. And you know what? It's also probably because the trees are blooming, so can't see into their windows
easily.
Boo,
nature.
Yeah. Boo, sunshine in Seattle, finally. The sun is just glistening through the window right now, by the way.
It's the prettiest day ever.
Thank God. It was kind of yucky earlier. Like, during the day, it was, like, overcast and bleh.
Uh-huh.
And then the sun came out, and it improved my mood.
I love that.
But anyways, naked neighbors. Yeah. So, the other month, I think it was sometime last month, the naked neighbors, one of them, the girl was, like, whipping, she was like in her bra and underwear, and there were people on the couch, like maybe three people. So it's like her boyfriend, and then a potential second couple, and she has a microphone, and she's in her bra and underwear, and then she takes her bra off and she's like swinging it around, and we're like, oh, what is going on? She's doing a show, like, what is this? And then the guy gets up, they all clap, and then the guy gets up, and then he's like clicking on something on the TV, and we're like, are they watching TV? Like, what is going on here? And then he has a microphone and he starts singing. We're like, oh, they're doing karaoke.
Strip karaoke.
Yeah. So then he starts taking off his clothes, and then, you know, towards the end, he pulls his underwear off, and then he's just like singing. And then Mr. Liz was like, we have Dick, ladies and gentlemen.
Dick has landed.
His beepus was out. I was waiting for him to helicopter it, and then we're like, oh my God, okay, so they're doing strip karaoke.
I wonder at what point they decide to take off an article of clothing. You know how there's like a rule with like strip poker?
I'm very curious.
Yeah, maybe it's like when you hit the bridge,
what the arrangement was.
Yeah.
And then when it came time for the guests' turn, presumably they closed the curtains, and I was like, God damn it, I wanted to see what was going on.
They're not exhibitionists like your naked neighbors.
And that's fair. I just am curious. And obviously the naked neighbors want people to see them doing stuff in front of the window.
Oh yeah.
And Mr. Liz and I we think that they're probably annoying. We think in real life they're annoying.
I mean, I think you have to have a certain kind of personality to be so consistent about making sure your neighbors see you naked. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it gets to a point where it's like,
I wonder if forcing you're like, your kink on other people. The neighbors are out, or the neighbors are sitting in front of their window. Let's be naked.
Yeah. I mean, like, how these buildings are set up, like, there's no question that people are seeing them.
We can see directly into their home.
Carrie Nakey. No.
And I was like, I wonder, can they see in here? They must be able to.
Nakey-okey is for sure what they call it. Yeah. At first it was Carrie Nakey. Don't like it.
I don't like that either. I feel like a...
Karaoke-ed. Frank would be here and say, not everything needs to be one word. Sometimes I'll do this just like in our kitchen.
Sometimes things can be one word and they should be.
Thank you. Why say more words?
Stripperoki. Something like that. Well, so if you guys need something to do this weekend, you can do strip karaoke.
Instead of the masked singer, it's the naked singer.
Oh, yeah. What if they were masked, but from the neck down, fully nude?
Oh, my God.
Guess that cock.
I would win. I would get so competitive. I can see a cock from a mile away.
You have sex news.
I have one talking tit.
Just like that guy's ball.
Before art, yes. Yeah.
One bouncing ball.
One supple ball.
Oh my God.
I hate the word supple so much.
I wish I could unhear that.
Okay, here's the headline. Older Americans now have twice as many STIs as a decade ago.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting? Like, I hope they're okay. I'm laughing, but it's kind of a funny image because I know
twice as many STIs.
People are like breaking backs in nursing homes. People are fucking like crazy in nursing homes. Yeah.
Well, because I was thinking people are having less sex.
So this is what it says.
Yeah.
Rising divorce rates, foregoing condoms as there's no risk of pregnancy, the availability of drugs for sexual dysfunction, the large number of adults living together in retirement communities, and the increased use of dating apps are likely to contribute to the growing incidence of STIs in the over 50s.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, in the over 50s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Fucking Janice quite and Bill are clapping cheeks.
Ew.
Hell yeah.
Well,
throw it back.
Somewhat related. Throw it back, Diane.
Sorry, continue.
Somewhat related. So I was reading, I already have the book, Why Does He Do That? And I was reading parts of it just because I was curious. And, you know, it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I can't believe it's already April.
I know. Wow. So I was reading parts of, like, Why Does He Do That? Because someone else referenced it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I do have that book. And one thing it mentioned is that, like, refusing to use a condom or like, just, like, you have to consent. I don't know how to explain this. Like, if you were having sex with someone and you were like, I only want to have sex with you if it's with a condom, and then without asking, they have sex with you with no condom on.
Yeah.
Like, that's assault, yes. First of all. But then also just generally refusing to take any accountability for pregnancy prevention and be like, well, I don't want to wear a condom, so I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. That's a form of abuse.
I mean, that makes so much sense.
Well, because you're also just kind of like literally using this person. I took screenshots of it because I was like, oh my gosh, my ex did this to me.
Yeah, so many guys that I've had sex with did that shit to me.
It's fucked up.
Yeah, it's super fucked up.
What the hell is wrong with you?
It doesn't feel as good.
Yeah, it feels fine.
You know,
okay.
What doesn't feel good is pushing a whole human out of you.
Use your hand then.
Yeah.
So this is really interesting. In a typical abusive inversion, my clients often attempt to convince me that they are the sexual victims in their relationship. As one man said, my partner uses sex to control me. That's how women jerk men around. Women are the ones that really have the power over men because they know what they have what we want most, and they have the power to shut us out. My wife wants me to be her little puppy dog, begging and drooling and wagging my tail. That's the only way I'll get sex. The underlying attitude comes bursting out of his words. He believes his wife is keeping something of his away from him when she doesn't want intimate contact. He sees sexual rights to a woman as akin to mineral rights to land, and he owns them. So I think that is like, that's a mindset that I do think that a lot of men have, like, especially like kind of like incels.
Yes.
The mindset that they have is that women are keeping something that they have the right to from them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's such an archaic view. That's the whole thing with like how marriage like began. Mm-hmm. The concept of marriage began was it's always been an ownership thing.
Abusive men who have these kinds of attitudes of sexual ownership sometimes refuse to use birth control or to practice safe sex. I'll read the whole thing. Dehumanization can be sickening, horrible experience for the person at whom it is directed. If you are involved with a sexually exploitative partner, you may find that sex is sometimes or perhaps always a nightmare. Exploitative, rough, coercive, uncaring sex is similar to physical violence in its effects, and it can be worse in many ways. And part of why it feels so degrading is that a woman can sense the fact that in her partner's mind, she has ceased to exist as a human being. Abusive men who have these kinds of attitudes of sexual ownership sometimes refuse to use birth control or practice safe sex. I've had numerous clients, for example, who have conceived children through sexual assaults on their partners. The implications of these kinds of sexual abuse for a woman and for her children are very serious. Anyways, keep that in mind. Well, because I remember after my ex and I broke up, he like apologized.
Wow.
For that, because I think he talked to a therapist.
That's and very they were big
like,
of him.
They're like, yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And yeah, I just.
Wow. I mean, that's very big of him to.
When I think about it, it makes me so fucking pissed, though.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have had to wait until we broke up for him to be like, no. Yeah, it was wrong and cruel for me to do that to
you. It shouldn't have taken like a third party, if that is what happened. It shouldn't have taken a third party, but like, unfortunately.
To be like, yeah, it was completely unfair for me to make it 100% your responsibility to prevent unwanted pregnancy.
Yeah, the first time that I had sex with the poet, remember the poet? Do you know who I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. He came in me without asking.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and then one of my guy friends, I told him about it, and he was like, yeah, he was like, that's assault, Amelia. And the fact that like one of my male friends said that, I was like, wow, like, I'm so glad that there are men in my life that are like identifying that these things are
assault
and like they're aware of it. A straight man too, but also like looking back on it, like that is so fucked. And I did call him out in the moment. I was just like, oh, you like came to me without asking, like, that's interesting. He was like, oh, I just figured because that's just what I've always done like in the past. And I was like, I'm not other women that you've had. You know what I mean?
But because when I think about it too, I'm like, no, it's always been a conversation.
Right. I mean, historically, person. It's been a conversation for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Not cute.
Not
cute. We can jump into our main topic.
Yeah. I had mentioned it last week. Man camps. The idea of a man camp is, it's another grifter thing.
Yeah.
Essentially. You'll see these like alpha bros assigned Chad at birth. You'll see these guys like pushing this like 3-day camp. It costs $10,000 to $18,000.
Are you serious?
For this 3-day camp that a bunch of men go to, and they essentially just like abuse you like you're in the military to like break you first couple of days to prove that you are worthy and manly enough to connect with other men. So it's this very well, and then they also sell you the idea that they're going to help you fix all your problems. You're going to become an alpha male. You're going to practice stoicism. You're going to blah, 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 like all of this other shit.
There's no way that these dudes that are these grifters aren't laughing at these guys. For paying like, $10,000.
How much do they believe?
They don't. Like, they don't. It's a grift. They actually don't. It's like Liver King. He doesn't act. He's been taking steroids the whole time.
Yeah.
These people are they lie for profit. $10,000?
Yeah.
For 3 days?
$18,000.
That is the sometimes craziest more. Shit.
So I can't remember where I first heard about this like man camp thing. It might have been on Reddit. But there were a couple of other Reddit searches or internet searches, and one of them It's on the r sad cringe subreddit.
No.
This weird 3-day program ran by a bunch of alpha males that turn you into an alpha male as well for the low cost of $18,000. The program is called the MDK Project. So the more I looked into this, because I was like, huh? The Modern Day Night Project is a 75-hour personal growth experience for men who want to live a life with fulfillment, purpose, financial freedom, and have a deep, loving relationship with their family. But it's more than just a 75-hour crucible. Because when you graduate from the 75-hour experience, you become a member of the Brotherhood Mastermind, a 12-month-long coaching and mentorship mastermind focused on developing the man, the meaning, and the money even more.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's so scary, dude.
So Vice has this very interesting article breaking down the whole thing. And the title of the Vice article is "Guys Are Paying $10,000 to Become Real Men at Warrior Camps. Macho programs promise self-fulfillment through hardcore military style training, but are they just a fix for an epidemic of male loneliness?" So this article is, I thought it was very interesting. I didn't get through the whole thing. I skimmed it because it is a bit long. But the author, Brendan Burris, the author talks to people who went to it. So they essentially just like take these depressed ass men who think that this is going to solve all their problems, and they make them endure a lot of physical hardship. And then the thing about that I don't understand, and I think also proves how fragile masculinity is you have to, men make other men prove their masculinity to each other.
Yeah.
Like, and I know I've said this before, but like women don't make other women prove their femininity to each other. Like, no. I'm not friends based on how they perform their gender expectations.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but men do. Like, it's men so hold women strange to that standard of, like, a certain level of femininity. Not all men, but, like, you know, it's kind of the same thing. They're the only ones really thinking super hard about gender roles.
Well, and I think that part of this, just, like feeling, like, men feeling lost is because they haven't had the same historical experience of exploring and challenging your gender identity the way that women have.
Mm-hmm.
Because women have a history of like having to fight for their rights and pushing back on these gendered expectations of like caring for a whole household and not having a job and not having rights to a bank account or to vote, things like that. So they have all of this time in history to challenge those things, whereas like modern men don't have that track record of history of challenging their gender role expectations. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's all, and it's just this constant back and forth, I think, between men who are like, I don't want to feel this way or behave this way, and I don't identify as someone who is like some macho man. I don't want to be out of touch with my emotions. I don't want to be emotionally unavailable to my partner or my kids. And then you have this very large subset of men who are afraid of that. So then they lean even more into this like idea of masculinity, which just reinforces emotional unavailability, which also reinforces like the male loneliness epidemic. So you have the same men who are crying and screaming and pouting about the male loneliness epidemic, but they're also the ones holding each other to these expectations and standards that only hurt them.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like an Occam's razor in their mind that it's like, if I'm so lonely, then like I need to be like the manliest version of myself to like stop being lonely. But it's like this advice is coming from men that very clearly are also pretty lonely. Like, and they're selling it as like, I used to be like you, but like underneath it all, they're still exactly like them. They just like have bigger muscles, you know, like. There's no proof in the pudding here. And that's scary that they can sell these programs as hard as they do.
Well, and they're selling, they're selling these programs to people who have like PTSD, whether it's from like being in the military or from having like abusive parents and just generally being failed by patriarchy, but not being able to identify it as that. So it's appealing to that group of men who are like, I've never felt like accepted as a man because I'm not masculine enough. And people who just like men who are just suffering internally because they don't know how to explore themselves because they've never been given the space to safely do that. So this article explores just kind of like this scam.
Yeah,
they explore it as both from the perspective of like a scam and a grift and the perspective of like male loneliness because they have to prove their masculinity to each other. But once they do, then they spend this time together with their peers who are part of this camp, like opening up to each other. It's like they have to prove this manliness to be worthy of having close relationships.
This is just like that whole thing, though, is exactly how incels operate, though, with like their little message boards and their little Discord channels, is like, you know, looking around and being like, wow, I'm not the only one in this struggle. That's the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
The study of male psychology as something unique is surprisingly new. In 2018, the American Psychological Association released its first guidelines for conducting psychological practice with men and boys. On the whole, the APA operated from the perspective that traditional masculinity, which the organized defined as traits like stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, and aggression, was psychologically harmful and generally unattainable for men. Though men benefit from patriarchy, they are also impinged upon it by patriarchy. One of the project's head instructors, Steve Ecker, a Marine veteran with bushy eyebrows and a bald head as shiny as a cue ball, has a different perspective. Men are either on one end of the spectrum, the two extremes. Either they think they have to be rah, 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 kill, fuck, pillage, or since they think that's so horrible, they're soft and weak and not speaking up, passive aggressive, afraid to show who they really are. Like, that again just kind of emphasizes the ideology that like an incel essentially has, is like, okay, if you're not this violent, hyper masculine man, then you're just like soft and weak.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are those the only two options?
And what's bad about being soft?
Yeah. What's bad about being emotionally available?
Yeah.
It
must run so, so deep for each individual person to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like a one person experience. It feels like it's like deeply like rooted in who they are.
And they in this camp, they kind of have this idea that you have to like, if you're experiencing depression, because I don't even know where to begin with the layered, like, you're experiencing depression because there is no place that has existed for men specifically to challenge traditional masculinity and like make a new identity and space for themselves.
Yeah.
So then there's this idea like, oh, you gotta like emotionally and physically beat the shit out of a guy in his depression to get him to wake up.
Yep. Yeah.
The project, which it's called The Project, like proper noun, which costs $12,000, excluding flights and hotels for men to unfuck themselves. To do that, men must do hard shit so they can level up in what this guy, someone that they're citing, what he calls the five F bombs: faith, family, fitness, finance, which provides a life of fulfillment.
Oh my God.
It is designed to wrap the pill up with cheese, he tells me. The pill representing men's mental development and building emotional bonds. The cheese representing jujitsu and tactical gun training, as well as experiencing military-style heroism without the dangers of war. Like, we just need to give these guys some guns and teach them jujitsu for them to get in touch with their emotions.
The main photo on their front video, this dude is shooting a gun. Do you see that?
I mean, they're trying to appeal to a specific type of man.
Their next class is in October and it's over halfway full.
How much is it? And how many people do they accept?
They accept 37 and there's only 15 spots left.
This is what the project is all about. It is confronting men with a crossroads, the path to staying a bitch and the path to becoming a beast.
Oh my God. Ugh.
And like everybody has that voice in their head that is mean to them. You know what I mean? Like it's not exclusive to men, you know?
Yeah.
It's your ego.
Yeah.
It's literally your ego.
It's just so sad that there aren't avenues that they've had up till this point to help them make sense and fix what they are seeing as that, like what they're experiencing in that voice. Like mm-hmm. that's a sad reality.
The thing that I think is interesting is through all of this, you know, the physical torture essentially and making men feel like they have to earn the right to express themselves without sacrificing their masculine identity or their identity as a man, to be worthy of expressing themselves emotionally. So there's just, I think it's just really interesting, the idea of like, you have to prove yourself before you get the right to express yourself.
Yeah.
And eventually they get to the same conclusion of like allowing yourself to feel your feelings, allowing yourself to connect with other men without, you know, no homo, you know, without feeling like it's impeding on your masculinity or yeah. your identity as a man. It's just so bizarre to me to feel like you have to punish yourself to be allowed to express yourself.
Yeah.
And so the article also really explores the idea of like, yes, this is kind of this awful thing to essentially like physically punish men to make them feel like they're masculine.
Yeah.
And then allowing them this space to connect with each other. So they do get to a point of like confronting like their inner demons of self-doubt and depression and anxiety and the things that make them feel that way. And they are creating this safe space and community with each other. You know, therapy would obviously be significantly more effective, but like
community.
It's kind of like the same. Yeah, it's a community. This is how they have to go about proving to themselves that they deserve a community. And you can kind of see the same thing happening in fraternities with hazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, point. Well, this happened. You have to go through it because I had to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting.
I just like, if you want community and you want to like purge yourself of this reality so that you can open up, like go do ayahuasca, you know,
just so do much some cheaper. Psychedelics.
The yellow banner at the top of the MDK project says, attention, the modern day night project is only for entrepreneurs, executives, and leaders. And then when you go down to the bottom, it says it again. It says that first part, and then it says, who are ready for a serious breakthrough, all caps. This exclusive experience isn't for anyone who's just starting their self-development journey. This is in-depth experience This in-depth experience is for men who are seriously ready and tired of making excuses. So I feel like that's kind of, they wrote that in like a way to like absolve themselves of responsibility of like, they're just being like a bunch of lost men. It's like, no, you have to be like an established, like sure of who you are guy before you apply to this program. It's like, nobody.
That is kind of related to something that's in this article. If society were a bell curve, Baumeister writes, women would command the middle with men at the extremes. It is true, men still disproportionately dominate the top of American society. More than 90% of CEO positions at Fortune 500 companies, 86% of the 400 richest Americans, 73% of the seats in Congress, and 100% of past presidents. The opposite is also true. Men disproportionately dominate the bottom of society, making up more than 93% of the prison population and about 70% of homeless populations.
Wow.
According to the U.S. Department of Labor statistics, 92% of Americans who die in the line of work are men. Of the first 3,000 American soldiers killed in the Iraq War, 2,938 of them were men. Like, I thought that was like one of the most interesting statistics that I read while reading this article, is just that there is kind of this bell curve of like dominating the top and the bottom of society.
Yeah.
And it kind of relates back to like, why is this the only two ideas of who you can be?
Yeah.
Why isn't there anything in the middle of this bell curve for men?
Yeah. It's sad.
Baumeister believes there is a simple anthropological reason for all of this. Men are more expendable than women. The fewer women available to reproduce, the greater the risk of a particular tribe dying out in the long run. Therefore, cultures exploit men to assume the most dangerous tasks with the most possible risks, like hunting animals or fighting wars. And should those men succeed, they reap whatever rewards come as a result. In this way, men are in constant competition with each other to either succeed spectacularly or fail miserably. On social media, the project instructors shame dropouts, telling followers to not be a bell ringer. You have to ring a bell 3 times if you want to quit. And deny them access to their brotherhood. So that's really interesting. It's like, okay, if you don't endure this physical abuse, essentially,
yeah,
then you don't get to connect with other people. You don't deserve it.
It's so sad.
Whereas like,
that's
like,
so sad.
It's like, okay, you have to do all of this to be allowed to be vulnerable. Whereas like, vulnerability is, I don't understand the idea of vulnerability is that it makes you weak when really it doesn't. Vulnerability empowers you.
Right. But it just doesn't make any sense that it's like you're weak if you're vulnerable, but then you have to go through all of this abuse so that you're able to be vulnerable with these men. But doesn't that just cancel out the work that you did if you're using that kind of like binary, to understand vulnerability? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense to me. It's sickening how obvious of a grift this is.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary. Well,
they're exploiting like underdiagnosed depression in males. What? Amelia just had a very shocked face.
So I'm scrolling down on this front page and there's a whole section. Now here's how you can get your wife on board.
And oh, because there is going to be a woman who in their life who's like, why are you spending all of this money to basically go to like a fraternity boot camp?
Yeah. And I mean, there's all these videos of like case studies of women that like, I see more belief in himself, an incredibly life-changing event. It's given way too much for our family. It's also taken away your children's college fund.
Yeah.
So your husband can go away for 75 hours to get the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah. Cry after doing an ice bath.
Yeah.
So he can feel like it's okay for him to express his feelings.
That's just wild to me. I can't believe this exists.
To better detect depression among individuals adhering to masculine identities, psychologists have developed alternative methods like the Gotland Male Depression Scale. These new models prioritize externalized symptoms over internalized ones, such as explosive anger at minor annoyances, numbing their pain through substance abuse, workaholism, and womanizing. Self-destructive and power-seeking behaviors, impoverished friendships, and in general, I can do it myself syndrome. So I think it's really interesting that like you have to kind of make a new a special scale of depression for men so they don't feel emasculated, but I also think it is very helpful to have these like external indicators that you are experiencing depression, because it's like, well, I'm not depressed, I'm like, I'm doing all of these things. But it's like, okay, someone who's explosively angry at something minor, that is a sign of depression.
Oh, yeah.
That's a symptom of depression.
Right.
When including these alternative scales alongside traditional ones for depression, men and women met criteria for depression in about equal proportions, a 2013 psychiatry study found. It is curious, however, that these symptoms of male depression are sometimes the same behaviors we associate with manning up.
Damn.
Man up. Yeah. Be violent. Be angry.
Be sad.
Be sad, but don't show anybody. Don't show anybody you're sad.
This feels ridiculous to bring up.
Yeah, the Gotland male depression scale.
It is. Have you ever watched Wife Swap?
I've seen like a couple of scenes, but I've never like watched a whole episode.
I mean, it's absurd. Like it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like it is an interesting kind of study of like manliness, because they always have the families that are swapping have like one dad who's like very militant and very like manly, and then one dad that's like very like, oh, I just kind of sit at home all day and play video games, and how they like take pieces of what they've learned from the other family to just like be the better version of themselves. And it's like that's what exists. It's Wife Swap, so it feels, I'm like trying not to laugh while I'm explaining this, but it's a good example of like, it doesn't need to be one or the other.
Yeah.
People are always better when they're taking on different aspects of like this quote unquote binary that they have in their mind. Like it's a balance.
It's just kind of this like self-fulfilling prophecy of loneliness and depression. It's like you're creating the circumstances that are making you lonely and depressed, but it's also reinforced by everybody around you.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
It is.
Like when I was reading this whole thing, it just made me really sad that there's just kind of like you have to endure hardship and abuse to be able to have good friends who will listen to you.
There's probably so many instances of people leaving this camp and being like, I feel exactly the same.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And they realize they got scammed and
or
fucked
at least,
over.
Oh, you know, they still might have this like kind of like emotional high from it initially, and then it tapers off.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's also how like a cult works.
Mm-hmm.
this quote from the article says, through man camps, men are sold individual glory and delivered a brotherhood into which they belong. Is that all any of them really wanted? Because I read a statistic that most men have 6 close friends, which is half the amount that men used to have.
Wow.
And just kind of like the idea of like, you know, the male loneliness epidemic. In the United States, many men have become disconnected from the societal institutions that have anchored dads to each other and our community. Historically, men have made long-term bonds through religious institutions and friendships at work. Our sense of worth derived from what we could provide our families. So not having a community is harmful to any person.
Yeah, we're social creatures.
It doesn't matter how you identify. If you don't have a community and you don't have someone that you feel like you can safely turn to and rely on, yeah, you're gonna be fucking depressed.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, really does. They feed, Andrew Tate's the same way. They feed off of these mm-hmm. people that just want somewhere to belong. And that's sad. Like, I could shit on these dudes all day, but like underneath it all, it's very, very sad that this type of thing has spawned from people just feeling so lonely and like they don't belong somewhere. So they spend their hard-earned cash to go to this experience that, like, there are just so many other better options.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the propaganda that exists on this website is, it's intense. And it makes sense why people fall for it.
Today, a 2019 YouGov poll found almost 1 in 5 UK men say they have no one they consider a close friend. And according to a 2006 analysis published in the American Sociological Review, white heterosexual men have the fewest friends in America. One explanation comes from University of Maryland professor and relationship expert Jeffrey Grief.
Oh,
what a name. Men tend to develop shoulder-to-shoulder friendships, doing stuff together, while women have face-to-face friendships, sharing emotions and experiences. He writes in Buddy System, Understanding Male Friendships. Evolutionary psychologist Robin Dunbar also notes that men deeply bond during periods of intense and scheduled engagement, like school, sports, and military service, but fail to maintain those relationships as distance and time apart grows.
Wow.
Is it all bad if they leave feeling like they have a bond with other people?
No, and that's not even the concern. The concern is that they leave and they don't feel that bond, because it's like, imagine the fallout of spending all that money, going through all of that, and then not feeling different at all. Mm-hmm. Like, and I know that that's the risk of anything. You could pay all this money to do something and it might disappoint you in the end. But when you go in so desperate, like, I'm going to Coachella in 2 weeks. I spent a lot of money on it. Say I don't have a good time. Like, I won't feel let down because it's just like, oh, I didn't have a good time. If I was throwing that money into I am at like my absolute lowest and like I need to do something about it, and then I was let down, it would be devastating. I would feel worse than I did before going to the experience, because mm-hmm. now I'm out $18,000.
So much money.
It's so much fucking money.
Like, I don't even know how some of these guys afford to do that, and perhaps they can't. So the author says, suddenly, I understood what Keith Schmidt and all the other project graduates kept telling me about brotherhood. True masculinity is showing love, showing compassion, showing all these things that are traditionally not spoken of as masculinity, Schmidt told me. And I think that scares some people. So someone who attended this had that revelation.
Yeah.
And I, like, why do you
need... why do you need to dress it up in something else?
I mean, it is exactly like what they were saying. It's like wrapping the pill in cheese.
Yeah. That's so sad.
I know. But...
you know, if it gets them there, then it gets them there, I guess. Know.
And maybe this is where it needs to start.
Maybe, but it's like there's...
But you don't need to exploit depressed men to happen.
It's so fucking sad. It's this is just such a sad thing. I really want to, like, have a man on to talk to about, like, a man specifically that buys into this kind of thing. And not in a way that's, like, bringing them on to, like, have, like, a fresh and fit, like, takedown. But, like, bringing them on just to, like, I just want to know.
Pick their brain.
I just want to know. I just want to understand. Because it's not even, like, at first when you started talking about this, I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever fucking heard.
Oh, yeah. But that now it's, like. That was my thing. When I saw, like, first saw it, I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
An alpha male camp.
And it's like, now I'm like, oh, it makes sense. And it's so fucking sad. Mm-hmm. It's so sad.
So as I was reading it, I think that was also kind of the goal that the author had with this storytelling, is to rope you in to be like just shocked at how egregious and stupid the idea is of an alpha male camp. And then it kind of like deconstructs it of like, men are fucking lonely.
Yeah.
And this is the experience that they have while participating in this overpriced camp. So it's just like, it's like anything in life. Like, you're going to feel conflicted. There's nuance and layers to it. Like, if these men feel like that was a worthy investment for them and it changes their life, then that's great. But you also shouldn't have to spend $10,000 to $18,000 to have friends, friends you can share your feelings with.
It's just wild that it's like this male loneliness epidemic is a result of like how society has viewed manliness for so long, and so they're trying to fix the problem with hyper, like, more societal manliness.
Yeah,
when it's like you can't fix a problem by putting more problem onto it. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like.
And it's also really interesting for us to be talking about this when Frank is nothing like that.
Yeah.
And Mr. Liz is nothing like that either. Mr. Liz has like lifelong friends that he talks to literally every single day.
Same with Frank. And it's like, I was thinking that when you were talking about like men being so lonely, and like mm-hmm. Frank is one of the most like in touch with his emotions men I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
And he's able to have those friendships. So it's like, and that's the same thing with my dad. My dad is so in touch with his emotions. He doesn't buy into the whole idea of like manliness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And has so many meaningful connections with people. So that's what I mean. It's like, to then throw these people into a place where it's just like manliness in a vacuum, when that's been the issue the whole time, has been trying to be like as manly and macho as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the math isn't mathing.
I also think something that's super annoying is like when we have conversations like this, just kind of observing and discussing the idea of masculinity and the things that harm men, they're like, if we were to share the clips of this, like, or this clip on TikTok, there would 100% be men in the comments who would be like, well, you're not a man, so you don't understand.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't need to be a man to understand that you don't have a space that you deserve to have.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
And to observe it is not to say I like know how to fix it.
No, but it's a very human experience.
Yeah. And I think everyone has felt lonely at least once, like lonely or left out. And that's a bad feeling. And sucks. I can't imagine living my life feeling that way.
Yeah.
On Threads, this is so stupid. On Threads, someone like posted, it was fucked up. They were like, and this is why I don't care about the male suicide rate or something like that. Have you ever seen like a repost like that?
Yeah.
They'll be quoting something shitty that a man said. And then a guy like had like replied or reshared that, and his take was just that like toxic masculinity hurts men essentially. And the comments under that were just like from other men being like, I hope she sees this.
Oh my god.
And just calling it performative and white knighting. And I know we've talked about that before, and it's just like, why? And I replied to a guy and I was like, your mindset is the thing that contributes to the male suicide rate.
Yeah.
And then he essentially proved my point in this conversation. He was like, yeah, I'm depressed and whatever. And I was like, I know I'm not going to change your mind because I'm just someone on the internet, but like, how can you reply to this guy and say like he's performative white knighting and also admit to me that you are depressed and lonely?
Yeah, right. Like, he's on your side, bro.
Yeah, this guy, I was like, this guy is literally like trying to have a conversation with other men about male depression and underdiagnosed depression in men.
Dude, this like hypermasculinity it's a cult. It's like, you don't think exactly like me, you're fucking wrong.
With so many things, like, and everything that we've talked about in this episode so far, and just the idea, like, when are we going to learn collectively that like
nothing is
binary is not helpful?
No.
Binary is harmful.
Yes.
Like, you're here miserable and depressed and you're still going to defend this.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, as with anything psychological, people are more likely to choose the thing that is familiar to them than do something new, even if that thing new is going to guarantee that they are happier. So, you know, someone staying at an abusive job because they know how it works.
Yeah.
Versus being like, okay, well, I'm too afraid to go to this new job where I don't know anybody and I'd have to relearn everything.
Damn, yeah.
But I would be significantly happier.
Yeah.
And I mean,
it's like familiar discomfort is better than unfamiliar discomfort.
Yeah. And that's just how people work.
Yeah.
That's how humans it's a human work.
Thing. And that's the whole thing with like people being like, well, you're a man, you don't understand. It's like, but this is a human experience that mm-hmm. we're talking about. Like, it just doesn't need to be the way that it is.
It's just, I think just like the history of how these spaces have been created is the crux. It's the downfall.
Yeah.
Of specifically men, but everybody.
Yeah.
But that was the thing that I wanted to discuss. I wish I had been a little more organized with it. But because I want your editing to be easier.
Oh.
An easier experience.
Thank you.
But I highly recommend that Vice article. I think it is so interesting. And there is no conclusion in this episode.
No.
It's just kind of more of a discussion of, like, a discussion and an observation of the extreme binary that men experience.
And I'll, like,
specifically straight men.
We would love to hear from y'all too. I know, yeah, we always say this, but email us your thoughts on this, holyhourpodcast@gmail.com. I know it's said in the beginning, but you might have skipped it.
Yeah, you might have sped through it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like having discussions and like hearing other people's points of view on these things.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, when you read about it, it is sad cringe.
It really is sad cringe. That it's the perfect example of sad cringe.
But then I am just hopeful that the men that experience this and view it as a positive experience that like solidified a community for them, like I hope that it continues to create like a positive long-term effect for them. But real masculinity is being able to like identify and express your feelings appropriately.
Those are the manliest men I know.
yeah. Well, and I don't know, even like the best guy that you know still has a hard time,
yeah,
expressing and communicating and identifying their feelings.
Who doesn't?
It's true.
Honestly.
Oh, I mean, I like never was taught that. So
yeah, I mean, I've been in therapy for like 15 years.
Sometimes, but Mr. Lizard and I talked about this somewhat recently. Anytime he like comes to me about something that I've done that like bothered him or upset him or whatever, I don't respond because I need to like reflect on it.
Yeah,
because like my immediate feeling is that it hurts my feelings and I'm upset,
mm-hmm,
because I feel like I've done something bad.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of like something that I will probably always be working on the rest of my life.
Yeah,
is like not punishing myself for like making a mistake, like a genuine mistake of like, I didn't know this was something that hurt your feelings, or I didn't know this was something that bothers you.
Yeah.
And he was like did you hear me? And I'm like, yeah, I just need some time to like reflect on it.
You're just
because
like
I don't know what
projecting
to say. Yeah, it's like I don't know what to say, and like my entire life up until the last few years has been to be like reactive and angry.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime someone's like, hey, you hurt my feelings, I'd be like, well, fuck you, you deserve to have your feelings hurt.
Yeah,
essentially,
right,
more or less. And maybe like try and turn the tables and point the finger back at them.
Right.
You well, know?
I mean, yeah, we're all of us are living our lives, continuing on our lives, undoing the things that we've been taught. And I think my bottom line in this whole episode is 75 hours is not going to fix a lifetime of shit.
Oh,
it just
yeah
isn't. It just is not. I will go out there on a limb and say that is an 100% fact, 100% of the time. It might make you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
But you're not undoing anything.
Maybe there just aren't enough places for men to create communities.
Yeah.
And then the ones that do have a community, like, through online means is, like, through incel forums, where they also are hyper-focused on women. You should just be thinking about what you enjoy doing. Like,
yeah,
focus on like exploring yourself and your hobbies and think about you, you know?
Yeah. Go do ayahuasca in South America.
Sometimes that is the answer.
Go find a shaman. Throw up in the woods. This has been good.
Yeah. It was a fun discussion.
It was something. It was a fun discussion. It was just a little sad. You know
it
what
is.
I mean?
Yeah,
it's
it
just
is
the
sad
reality of this is pretty sad, but it's an important discussion. It's sad and important. We're not the holy hour anymore.
We're sad and important.
We're sad and important. And so are you.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I hope you're not
sad. I hope you're not sad, but you are important.
Mm-hmm.
You're important to us.
You're all important. Everyone's important. And that's the point of Inside Out. Or no.
Inside Out.
No, soul. That's the point of soul.
Soul.
Everyone's important. Your purpose is to be.
I just got the chills thinking about that movie. I love that movie so much.
Oh, I was bawling my eyes out
when
I saw it.
Yeah, that movie fucked me up. All right, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Because my parking is up.
Should we just sing? Or
yeah, we should. You want to leave? You want to start?
We love you, our children.
Hey.
going wow. with the love at the same time.
Wow, we were coordinated. All right, bye.